Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for our God indeed is a good and gracious God. Announcements were on the screens before you, as is our custom, as you were coming in, so I hope you had the opportunity to pay attention to the screens and make note of those announcements that are most important to you. Of course, here at the church, it's all about the next week. So the only thing I know is that Monday, Thursday is Thursday, Good Friday is Friday, and Easter Sunday is Sunday. So do plan to be present with us for one or all of the special services over the coming week as we move through the events of Holy Week. Monday, Thursday is at 7 p.m. Good Friday is at our regular morning worship time of 10 a.m., as is our worship on Sunday morning, of course. Lots of special music this week, so it'll be a series of services worth your attention. So do plan to come and be part of all of the events of this week as you can. Since we have new elders in the house, I'm going to give the announcement for the session meeting 1 week early. Usually I remind folks on Sunday that we meet on Tuesday. On April the 14th, elders, is our session meeting for the month of April. So tuck that into your calendars now and be prepared for our meeting on the 14th. So we enter into worship this morning. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his faithful followers seek to walk in his path. This morning's call to worship is, as is our custom, a responsive call to worship. The words will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Thankful are we, for the Lord has answered us and has become our salvation.
Let us pray. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week and gather at your house of prayer, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that united with Christ and with all the faithful, we may one day enter your gates, a city made not with human hands, but the new Jerusalem, eternal and in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit Christ lives in glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And our first hymn for this morning is on the insert in the bulletin, should you wish to have music to follow along, or as is always our custom, will appear on the screen. If you missed the Psalm Fest a couple of weeks ago, a really quick synopsis. One of the things that is the gift of the Reformed Church to the broader church is the metrical psalms. John Calvin, John Knox thought that the singing of the psalms was the most significant praise that a congregation could offer to the Lord, and that the psalms should be singable, that they should be So as a result, both the Genevan Church and the Church of Scotland developed psalters of metrical psalms, which means the psalms were written in a poetic form so that they could be set to tunes in common meter. If you're looking at that sheet that's in the bulletin right now, you'll see at the top 52 Bishop Thorpe, which is the name of the tune, and then the meter of the tune is common meter, CM. You'll see that a lot in our hymnody, especially as we sing through the Psalms, and this is the setting for Psalm 118. It got dropped from this book of praise. It was in the 1972 book of praise, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was, when I was a young man, one of my favorite psalms. So you're going to sing my favorite psalm setting. The music is by Jeremiah Clark. For those of you who got married to the trumpet tune, the same Jeremiah Clark, and Olivia is playing that as the postlude this morning, just to tie the beginning and the end of Surface together. So we look forward to that as well. But we sing now hymn 52. Bishop Thorpe is the tune, "O Set Ye Open Unto Me." Please be seated. Normally, in our worship, I invite you to join me in the prayer of confession. It turns out I've turned the tables this morning. The prayer I will say, I will invite you to join me in the assurance that follows. So there will be a period of silence, and then your responses will be on the screen following the silence. Let us pray. Jesus, our Lord, we shout hosannas to praise you. With eager hands, we place our cloaks and palms on the path before you. Yet, Lord, we confess that the mouths that seek to praise you often deny or defy you. And we confess that the hands that seek to serve you often become fists. Lord, hear us as we confess our sins to you in silence. And we conclude our prayer responsively. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
For Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hosanna. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, so we are encouraged to be forgiving one of another. I invite you now to turn to your neighbors beside you and someone who maybe aren't quite so near to you, because I know we like to get up and move around a little bit, and greet them with a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is Hosanna, Hosanna, number 216 in the Book of Praise. Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Tired.
Yeah. I know the feeling. And it's good that you guys are good too. And this morning, we're coming to the end of our journey. Right? We said during the season of Lent, we were going on a journey. Right? Because people often say that Lent is a journey. And so we talked about what we might take with us if we were going on a long journey with Jesus. Right? And we talked about what? First week was our a good pair of boots, a firm foundation upon which to walk, right? Well, we had that was week three. We'll wait for that one. Week two was week two. Week two is still here. I took my boots home, but this one's still here. A walking stick to help us on our way, right? And then week three was a bag full of all the important things that we might want to take with us on our trip. It's like water, or maybe a little bit of food, maybe a journal to keep notes and things that inspire us on our journey. What do you think would be the last thing that you'd want to have with you on your journey? Yeah, I'd take him too. And so what does that mean? Who do we want with us? Other people, right? We want to go with our friends when we go on a walk, right? It's nice to have someone along the way who you can talk to, who can give you a helping hand if you fall down and need to be picked back up, right? Always good to be with somebody else. And that's important for us to remember here this morning, too, as we sit here in amongst all of our friends of Jesus who have gathered here this morning for worship, right? One of the important things, everything that we've talked about, we've kind of tried to tie back into our faith. And community is an important part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We don't do it alone. We do it in the world in which we live by showing Jesus' love to the world. We do it here as a group of people gathered together to remind each other, to encourage and support each other when things aren't going well, to rejoice. Pretty quick, aren't I? To rejoice with one another when things are going well. So the last thing that we want as we're moving on, as we come to the end of our journey through Lent with Jesus, is to take Jesus' friends with us. And that would be all of our people who gather each Sunday morning in worship. All right. Well, thank you so much for this morning. Downstairs this morning, hey, you're doing same as we are. We're doing Palm Sunday this morning. And we all look forward to learning what the children have to experience downstairs this morning. So we'll look forward to that. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the mighty, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the humility with which Jesus entered your holy city, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may learn to live lives of grace and service. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And the second reading, the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey, tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.
Once more, let us join in song as we sing hymn 218. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, hymn 218.
Thank you.
And our epistle reading for this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2, reading verses 5 to 11. Listen for God's word as it is given in Philippians chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the psalm for this morning is Psalm 118, the last of the Hallel Psalms, the series of psalms that we have been reading together through Lent. We read the second half, which begins with those words, the same as our opening hymn, "Open for me the gates of righteousness." And this psalm for this morning is in your bulletin on the other side of that hymn that we sang at the beginning of worship. And it has a sung response. So I'm going to ask Olivia to play through the response once, and then we will sing it as practice once, and then we'll move into the psalm. And as we read the psalm begins with that refrain.
Hosanna, blessed he who comes in God's own name to make our world God's home.
Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
Amen, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's own name to make our world God's home.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our sight. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you.
Hail and Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in God's own name to make our world God's home.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in our hands, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as we begin this morning, you may have noted that there's a discrepancy between the sermon title as it's printed in the bulletin and the one that's on the screen. I guess you could say that's not by accident, but maybe by accident, I don't know. I selected the title that's in the bulletin, the one that is in print, and sent it across to the office on Friday morning, and then, about 15 minutes later, decided that that wasn't the sermon title that I wanted to use at all. But I had found a new one, Prisoners of Hope, which I really, really liked. Unfortunately, by the time that I made the change, everything had gone to print, the bulletins were folded, they were ready to go. So there was a little bit of there. So really, to be honest, though, with you, I thought, you know, Jerusalem Rejoices, the sermon that's in the sermon title that's in the bulletin, I can make that work. Nope, can't. Well, it's not that I can't. It's just that all through my planning, as I kept going back to the texts and reading again and looking at them and trying to pull everything together into one idea, a couple of ideas for this morning, Prisoners of Hope just kept sticking in my mind. And so you're getting Prisoners of Hope this morning, not Jerusalem Rejoices. I'm sure when the Prisoners of Hope returned, Jerusalem did indeed rejoice, but that's a sermon for another Sunday. As I noted, this title comes from just off of the page, if you will, of the Old Testament reading in the book of Zechariah this morning. Had Kenny read two more verses, you would have heard this. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return you to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. It's a powerful phrase. Prisoners of hope. Now, a little bit about this prophecy from the end of the Old Testament, right? Zechariah, getting to the very last few of those. Zechariah is the 11th of the 12 prophets outside of the major prophets that kind of fill up the rest of the end of the Old Testament. And the book of Zechariah is divided into two, some scholars might argue three, sections. Chapters 1 to 8 of the book of Zechariah, should you choose to go home and read it this afternoon, it's only about 12 chapters, you can do it. If you go home and you read chapters 1 to 8, it's very clear there that it refers to the children of God, to Judah, at the end of that period in the history of the people of God known as the exile. Right? And we talk about the exile often in worship. But from chapter 9 onward, the historical context becomes just a little less certain. With references to the Greeks in it, there are some scholars who think that this latter section from chapter 9 onward refers to several centuries later on when Alexander the Great is the great power of the Western world and conquers most of the region of the Mediterranean. At one level, historical setting is important. It's good that we know what exactly these books of the Bible were addressing when they were written to the original readers of the book. And yet, I would also say it does not change the significance of this passage, whichever way you choose to make that interpretive leap about chapters 9 and following in the book of Zechariah. If you choose to say this is clearly exile material, nobody's going to fight with you. If you choose to go, clearly this is Alexander the Great and the Greeks that they're talking about, you're on safe ground. But more to the point, it doesn't change the significance of this passage in the lives of the children of God as we move further and further down the historical road. In fact, I might argue that it only amplifies the reality about which Zechariah is speaking. This passage of Scripture is words of comfort to those who are oppressed and displaced. It is the promise of return and the promise of home. Listen again. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. He shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. It speaks of the establishment of God's peaceable kingdom, where war and conflict, the seizing of resources and of people will be no more. In the context of the original text, that text that Zechariah wrote to his people, it is a promise given to a people who still live in captivity. But upon a new day of hope and freedom is dawning. And therefore he uses that phrase, right? Prisoners of hope. It speaks to their present reality as prisoners, but the fact that the God who has promised his people to always be with them and to lead them to freedom continues to be their God and continues to be faithful to the promise. Hope. And it's important to retrace this historical reality for us this morning, as we come this morning at the beginning of Holy Week to celebrate Palm Sunday, because the gospel writers use the sacred text from Zechariah as a lens through which to interpret Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Right? Every one of the gospel stories, as it talks about Jesus entering into Jerusalem, makes reference back to this text in Zechariah. So it's important. As Jesus sends his disciples into this unnamed village on the outskirts of Jerusalem to fetch a donkey upon which he will ride into Jerusalem, Matthew tells us this took place to fulfill what has been spoken through the prophets. It is our interpretive footnote to point us backwards to that proclamation of freedom and restoration that the children of God had longed for so long. And by the time that Jesus comes to this day and Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the characters in the story may have changed, but the story itself remains the same. The children of God continue to be prisoners of hope as we join the gospel story this morning, because they live under the oppression of the Roman Empire and they long for restoration and new life. They long for the God in whom they have placed their trust to rise up and free them. And it is into that reality. It is into that longing in the hearts of the people of God that Jesus rides this morning. And in his actions, Jesus overcomes the hopelessness of the people and transforms them once more into prisoners of hope. But this time the emphasis is no longer on prisoner. This time it is on the emphasis is on the hope. All of this takes place against the backdrop of an event that happened probably just a few days before Jesus enters into Jerusalem. An event that happens just off the edge of the page of Matthew's gospel. The arrival of another. The arrival of another emperor and another procession to go along with him. Again, it is a historical reality that exists just off the page. But we know that for this particular Passover festival, and indeed probably for most Passover festivals in the time of Jesus' life, the prefect of Judea, Pontius Pilate, the Roman-appointed ruler, would journey from his palace in Caesarea Maritima to Jerusalem. It would be a show of force. The prefect, Pilate, at the head of the procession, riding in a war chariot or perhaps on horseback, at the head of his legions, precise military formations, pennants flying, the sun glinting off of steel breastplates and of the edge of the sword. It would surely be a terrifying sight in the eyes of the people of Jerusalem. It was a sight that was meant to communicate the message that while the children of God might celebrate at the time of Passover, how God had passed them by in Egypt centuries and centuries ago and had led them out of the land of Egypt and into freedom in the promised land, that there would be no such deliverance this year. This year, they would continue to be prisoners of hope. It is this juxtaposition symbolized by these two processions, processions not unlike those that had happened in the past, processions not unlike those of our very day, that we see, in which we see the true meaning of Jesus coming. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and Jesus coming into our own lives. It is the recognition that the age-old adage that might makes right continues to hold sway in our world. That countries still go to war over natural resources and treat people as if they are just another commodity to be exploited, enslaved, bought, sold for the prosperity of others. And we are prisoners of hope. We long for a world that will be set right. A world in which people are freed and valued not because of what they do, not because of any economic value that they have, but because they have been created in the image of God and are inherently of value because they delight the heart of God. It is, to borrow from the Jewish theologian Abraham Heschel, and I'm sure I've told you this before because it is one of my favorite images. But Heschel, in speaking about the Sabbath, speaks of the fact that 6 days out of every week, people are defined by what they do. How they contribute to the economic world in which we live, how we make our daily bread. But Heschel says, on the Sabbath. Being a good Jewish gentleman, he doesn't care much about Sunday, and that's fine. But being on the Sabbath, Heschel would say that we are defined not by what we do, but by who we are. Children of God, created in God's own image. We delight the heart of God. Once we learn that lesson, we know that it's only a matter of time until God will indeed prevail and will be able to set us free. We know that God will be faithful for us just as God has been faithful in the past. And in the end, God will triumph. That is all of the things that are, that is the grand picture, the grand theme that we see being played out in this great drama this morning as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, is welcomed with the words of Psalm 118. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed because they have hope that God will release them and set them free from any and all of the burdens that they carry each day. And so we wait. We wait because indeed we are prisoners of hope, and hope will not let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism. The catechisms, as always, but a reminder, set up in a question and response format. We read this morning question 31 from the Heidelberg Catechism and its appropriate answer. The question is, why is Jesus called Christ, meaning anointed? Oh, we don't have that? Oh, that's not in the bullet. Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals to us the secret counsel and the will of God for our deliverance. He is our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of his body and who continually pleads our cause with the Father. And he is our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let our hosannas to the one who brings liberation take form in our tithes and offerings, that in our way we may bring freedom and hope to a struggling world. Let us present our offerings to the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Let us pray. God of each and every good gift, we thank you for showing us how to care for one another. May these gifts lead to great feasting for those who have no banquets set before them. May these gifts build shelters and places of worship for those who are homeless. May these gifts proclaim your desire that all your creation lives in peace. Give us grateful hearts, O God, in the name of the one who came to draw all people to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us join our voices, our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, our deliverer, the streets and alleyways still echo with our hymns of praise. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet we know what this week will bring. In a mere few days, our cries of exultation will be transformed into words of condemnation. Crucify, crucify. And yet, even then, in moments of cruelty and deep betrayal, we know that our deliverance draws near. We thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to truly take away the sins of the world and to reestablish the wonder of your creation. Sustaining God, who is above us, beneath us, and within us, by whose grace we see your hand in all of creation and your face in all of your children, we pray for peace, for justice, and for joy in the world that we encounter, the news that we hear. Help us to overcome feelings of despair and mobilize us to work for the peace of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for your church in our own community and around the world. Help us to bear the image of Christ in all that we do, and through our proclamation, may we come to know Christ more dearly and make him known in your world. Dear God and community, we pray as you commended us, both for those we love and care for, as also for those who choose to be our enemies. For your prayer was that none should be lost. We remember those who are unwell, those in hospital or housebound, those whose task today and through the night is to care for them. We remember those facing the stress of difficult decisions, of thresholds of life, of anniversaries and special days, and those things beyond the words we want to share now, but share with you in the silence of our hearts. Hold us within the unending fellowship of all of those who have served their day and generation in the faith and now who rest in your abiding presence. Drawn together by your love, may we know that you are near to us. We unite all our prayers in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn of praise is number 220 in the Book of Praise. My song is Love Unknown, hymn 220, or as it appears before you on the screens. And now, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look not to rewards and celebrity for your good deeds. Do unto others what will nurture God's will for them. Listen to the word of the Lord and believe. And let us now go in peace, assured of God's presence with us, with the mind of Christ Jesus as your path and your guide, and the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore. Amen.
The peace of the